Welcome to Wealth on Main Street, where conversations about growing your wealth are fun and entertaining. Wealth isn't just about money. It's the skills and the knowledge that we develop to pass on to future generations. Tune in each week to grow your mindset and your net worth at the same time.
Okay, so we were just chatting before hitting the record button. We think that the inauguration, by the time this episode airs, that the inauguration has already happened and Trump is in office. And Rich, you were mentioning something around Trump and the infinite banking concept. So what came up for you there? Because I immediately thought that was a really catchy title for the episode. And so what's coming up for you around that?
Well, I just think that in the news, regardless whether it's the mainstream media or it's the more online media, like podcast realm and so forth, I'll call it the alternative media, if you will. Everyone's talking about the inauguration. They're talking about the win, leading up to the win, leading up to the election, now post-election, a lot of things that are taking place. President Trump's kind of hit the ground running, setting a stage for a lot of movement globally with different leaders, including well, if you want to call him a leader, I suppose you could do that. I guess he's got a title, Mr. Trudeau in Canada. I don't know if I would label him as a leader of any kind. I don't think he could lead himself out of a wet paper bag, but nevertheless, he's got a title here in Canada. And so, there's discussion about things like tariffs and there's a lot of things. There's trade issues. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on. And so in relation to Trump and the infinite banking concept, I just, think, okay, so who are the people that we serve? We serve people who are implementing that process, people who are looking and getting educated on that process, wanting to implement it in their lives. And so I really wanted to, I guess, talk more to our existing clients, people that are already doing this. And for those that are thinking about doing it, like, what are some things that you maybe should know? Well, number one, if you're already in the process of becoming your own banker, you're already implementing this, you will have understood and have a measure of control that is unlike what most other people have in their financial life. Right. The ability to access capital directly from a company that you co-own using their money, OPM, while your money continues to work every single day. And so during the election, after the election, and at the inauguration, you're going to go to bed and put your head on your pillow. And the next day when you wake up, there's going to be more cash value in your financial asset base than there is the day before. That is a very powerful and stress-free way of life. That's what Nelson Nash taught us. And so I think there's some important things for people to understand that the impact that is going to be had on a geopolitical environment, and there's economic turmoil that gets created. Some of it's going to be extremely positive. Some of it's going to be extremely negative. It just depends on your business, your structure, your income. I mean, maybe if you're a government employee in the United States, you might find yourself on the Doge chopping block, who knows? So there's a lot of people with a lot of fear there. And so recognize, where do you have control? An area where you can have complete and total control over your financial aspect of your life is where and how you access money and having constant accumulation on your cash value, utilizing dividend paying life insurance in the structure that Nelson Nash taught us about. So to me, these are things that we've been talking about, Jason. Going back to the previous Trump administration, we were talking about this. It was before we launched the podcast, at that point. But we were talking about these things in live events about how, well, who cares who's going to be president? This, it'll be this or that. It's something we don't control. Like, I'm Canadian. I can only vote in Canada, unfortunately. And so I don't have any measurement of control there. Even in the Canadian election, being in Western Canada, there's not a whole heck of a lot of control here either, because the bulk of the voting capacity from the population base exists in the eastern provinces. So we can exercise that democratic vote, but we can't control the outcome.
Right.
There will be an outcome, and that outcome will have an impact, and that impact will likely impact you financially over the time frame of the administration. That's in Canada and in the United States. And certainly people in Canada have been drastically impacted over the last 9.5 years, financially speaking. Massive inflation, massive everything. So recognize where you have control. We couldn't control a Trudeau government coming into power. We won't be able to control when he goes out, as it's been attempted to take place many times over the last months to exit him from his current position. But but there will be an economic change that takes place, and it might be positive for some and negative for others and vice versa. And it doesn't matter who wins. Someone's going to be on the win side and someone's going to be on the lose side there. Financially, where are you taking measurements and instituting a level of control in your own financial life where you can have peace of mind regardless of how the pendulum swings?
That's something that came up for me, was what Nelson, you know, shared with us so often when he described that the process of banking goes on no matter what. And when you think of, you know, this new political environment that we have, it doesn't impact the fact that the process of banking goes on no matter what. And when people are feeling like there's an absence of control or there's some uncertainty, well, then that is naturally based on the human condition. When emotions rise, anger might creep in, right? Like if you can think about times where you felt angry in your life, it's because either A, you're not getting something you want, or there's an absence of control, something that we've communicated to our audience, you know, in the past. And fear can play a big role in that too. And it can move us away. It can shift our thinking and our focus to what Nelson would refer to as noise. And are all these uncertainties important to address? Of course they are. We don't know what Trump's term is going to look like. We don't know what his agenda is yet. That's going to evolve over the coming months. I would probably predict, so today we're recording this on January the 3rd, I would predict that we are going to have a new prime minister before the end of 2025, and that prime minister will be Pierre Poilievre. Without a doubt, he is going to be the next prime minister of Canada. Is that going to create uncertainty and raise fear and even trigger anger for some Canadians? I would imagine so. But the process of banking goes on no matter what. It's yours and my responsibility to help people stay focused in that aspect of their lives. And that's, you know, what obviously gave rise to recording this episode, is to just reassure folks, especially those that have already implemented the process to some degree. Your dividend paying whole life insurance contracts don't care who the president is, don't care who the prime minister is, don't care what the political agenda of the day is. Those contracts are producing legally binding outcomes. And that in and of itself raises a degree of certainty and assurance where you can look at that aspect of your financial life and say, that is rock solid. Like that is a absolute rock solid foundation to what I'm doing financially. And then controlling how you finance the things that you need is all part of implementing the process so that you can continue seceding from the system and then creating more peace and less stress financially. Like, we haven't met anybody ever that we've talked to where they're like, no, actually, you know, I thought maybe this might involve increasing the stress in my life financially and, you know, making sure I'm not peaceful and that I am in fear. I am in a state of anger. That's not what anybody would truly want if you were to ask them. But this process of banking goes on no matter what's happening in politics, and our clients are doing just fine.
Well, and there's also, you know, yeah, there's going to be people who have some anger and fear regardless of that change, and that's taking place. We can see it's all over the news. You can see whatever, there's riots in the streets, all the things that take place. But in the same respect, there's a whole bunch of people on the other side of that who are just, they're going to be jumping up and down with joy. I mean, they're going to be outrageously happy. And, you know, in a lot of the circles that we communicate and travel in the entrepreneurial communities, you know, people that we know through things like Strategic Coach, people who are very focused on a bigger future, people who are very positive, they have a positive, excited outlook on life, on the next decade, on the next 25 years. They're looking and making plans in 25-year increments, regardless of what's going on today. And in order to think about something 25 years from now, you have to have bit of a positive outlook on life, and you have to make moves, strategic moves that move you in the direction of that bigger future. So you have something to focus on and put your energy on. And, you know, with as an example, if you're a Canadian business, maybe tariffs are going to impact you. But if you're a US business, tariffs with Canada might also impact you negatively. You really don't know. And that could impact energy prices, could impact a whole bunch of things. It reminds me in Nelson's book on page 11, it's really kind of the beginning of the book fundamentally. If some authoritative power distributed all the money in the world equally among all of the people in the world, within 10 years' time, 97% of all the money would be under the control of 3% of the people. So that's a very powerful statement. Now, people have said similar things about that. Do we know if it's actually true or not? I mean, I think in times of like war and other economic climates in the past, you can see how that trend tends to make itself known. Banking is the most important business in the world. Without it, all business comes to a screeching halt. Whenever a business transaction takes place, money must flow from one party to another in a relatively short period of time.
Yep.
Otherwise, nothing takes place. That's the process of banking that Nelson's talking about. The flow of money must come from a supply source or a reservoir. And that's what a bank is. Snowbank, you know, blood bank. Blood bank is a reservoir. This is a storage facility, storage location for money, for capital. This is the essence of what the banking business is all about. Someone or some organization has control over a pool of money that can, in other words, it has the ability to flow, and it must flow at a cost to meet some need. Must flow at a cost. Well, that's the price of like interest and fees and all the things that it takes in administration to move money from one place to another. That's, you know, that's the cost of the draft that you go get when you want a bank draft. It's the cost of the teller. It's the cost of the administrator that's on the phone when you call in. It's all of those associated costs that have to be taken care of. So some organization or some person. Well, we think generally about this process in the way of organizations. That's the banking community, you know, typical brick and mortar banks, deposit taking institutions, lending institutions.
Yeah.
But also insurance companies perform the function of those organizations. Someone can be you if you have the first right to access and distribute or utilize capital liquidity that is available through the method of collateralization of your own cash value contract.
And
what Nelson's talking about here is you can be the someone rather than the some organization performing that function.
100%. And to add to that, on page 23, right to the tail end of what you just said, Nelson goes on to describe, he says, and there are no government bureaucrats looking over your shoulder telling you what you can and cannot do. The result is limited only by the imagination of the policy owner. Brilliant.
and the other thing that I thought about here too, this is what drew me to this page. It was something that you said, we're talking about administration changes, giant political moves, political changes, 4-year terms, the whole gamut there. Because there's a shakeup happening. I think globally, we're seeing a lot of like, almost like a pendulum shift happening in a lot of areas of the globe. And there's something interesting about that 2025 kind of, you know, we're a quarter century into this new environment. And it's like, what's changing? What's taking place? The next sentence Nelson has here is there's only one pool of money in the world. The fact that this pool is managed by any number of institutions, banks, insurance companies, corporations, and individuals in various countries with various currency denominations is incidental. Now, I would add to that, in various political environments. So the countries are different, the political environments are different, the politicians in power are different, the currencies are different, and they're measured differently against one another, etc. But there's only one pool of money in the world.
Right.
And the fact that it's being managed by all these people, including the individuals, is just what portion of that control do you have as it relates to your specific needs as a human being, as a family unit? How much of that control are you taking part of as it relates to that ecosystem? You can't control necessarily the currency that you operate in. I mean, to a degree, you can do currency trading, sure.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, it's, you know, you live in country A, you're going to be doing commerce primarily in the currency of country A. Like if you're in Argentina, you know, they've been facing massive inflation and now Javier Milei's got that mostly under control in the 1-year time frame that he's been in power. We'll see how that you know progresses moving forward. A lot of confidence seems to be building in that environment, but that's probably, you know, that's not a currency I would want to go trade in personally. But if you live in that nation, that's what you're working with. Now they're trying to dollarize that, dollarize using the US dollar. So you might be able to conduct business and trade in the US dollar in that currency now more so than you could in the past. So those are changes. You don't necessarily get to control that. You can only control what you do in relation to the change. And if you have the systematic implementation of a process and good habits that Nelson's concept teaches us, it's not just about an insurance contract. That's just a mechanism to help utilize good thinking habits that you build up over time by conducting a process repetitively in your financial life.
Yeah. And that creates transformation. You know, we had chatted in addition to this topic before the show, if you were to rewind back to, you know, the last week of December of last year, and people are thinking, okay, I've got to frame up what my resolutions are going to be for 2025. I have to put some real thought into what am I going to start doing differently on January 1st? And we know for most people where that ends up. By February 1st, all that's out the window, versus habits-based transformation as opposed to resolution-based transformation. And there's, I think, no better time. I was thinking about this over the Christmas break. There's no better time, in my humble opinion, for us to be coaching even more on the family banking aspect of this, and not just, you know, emphasizing, which I think we've done a great job at not doing, emphasizing it at the individual level. Suffice to say, I mean, that's where the banking function should be held, is at the you and me level, the individual level. But the implementation of the process is so much more abundant within the family framework. And so this year, we're going to respond to what people have asked us, you know, that they desire. And they desire more concrete approaches on implementing the family banking system, which is now trademarked successfully, by the way, which is super awesome. But implementing that and helping these people do it by actually helping them. And our book, Don't Spread the Wealth, is an excellent first step to be thinking through the family banking system. But Rich and I are going to do a lot more coaching on the actual paint by numbers, step-by-step implementation. And I think there's no better time for that, especially considering the fact that there is going to be so much of this external change. But families have to be reminded, like, the process of banking goes on no matter what. You're still going to need the use of money. It has to reside somewhere. And what better place to have it reside than here? And if you're practicing this concept at the individual level, if you have any family, they're no different in the sense that they need the use of money. Their money must reside somewhere. They're presently not controlling how they finance the things that they need. They're not controlling the banking function as it relates to their needs. And so take a moment and just write down, like, what would the disadvantages be to introducing this concept to the family? Well, there are none. There are only advantages. And so that's where we're going to place an even higher degree of emphasis this year. I couldn't be any more excited. And Rich and I mentioned, yes, we're born and raised Canadian, but we serve North Americans. We serve people across Canada and across the United States, and are fully operationalized to do that. So for all of you American listeners, first of all, thanks for listening and for watching, but we can help you too. And I think we're pretty darn good at it.
You know, and you talking about the family banking system, I think, you know, for our business owners, a lot of people already do this to some degree, or they understand it. You know, they eventually you get into corporate structuring, and, you know, somewhere along the line, maybe you did it early, maybe you did it later on, you did some kind of restructure, you get a holding company, you know, or an LLC, whatever it is that you have, again, depending on your jurisdiction. And what ends up taking place, typically you have your operating company, OpCo, it's conducting all the business. You don't want to have generally all of the capital and the money tied up in OpCo in case there's a legal issue or something else happens, and then right. It puts everything at risk. So what's common, and again, not to dispense accounting advice, whatever, but it's common that people will get some advice from a professional, and they will start to move some of that money. So it's not just sitting there idle in that corporation, and it moves to a holdco or moves to something else. And then as it gets built there, well, you want to put it to work. But one of the best places that a lot of business owners find that they can put it to work is in the thing that they already are profitable at, which is their business.
That's right.
But then what happens is if they don't understand the EVA, economic value add principle that Nelson talks about in his book, there's the whole article there. It's the use it or lose it section of the book is what these fundamental basis of the idea of paying yourself first. It's really paying yourself first in a business sense.
Right.
And now if you need a piece of equipment or you need to go and let's say you need to finance some new technology, maybe you want to implement AI into your business practice and it's going to take an investment of $100,000 and another, you know, you're going to spend 50, you're going to earmark 50 grand to hire a guy who's an AI wizard to come in and run that and figure out how to implement it over the next 18 months in your business. And you know, it's going to take some cost and some R&D. So you're going to front load that with capital you have available. Now you can use Holdco's, let's say got the money. Holdco provides that money back to the operating company. But what the missing link for people is making sure that there's appropriate repayment model, repayment schedule, or a methodology to return that money back to the holding company with more than you took. So you took 150 grand out, we'll put 200 back in. How you do it is where you put a schedule in place that explains how that is. And that's where you have a measure of control. Again, control, control, control. But that process is the same thing that we're implementing at the family level. And I think a lot of business owners are aware of this already, depending on what degree they're at. Like if they've leveled up and they've got a profitable business, they've had that for a long time, they probably recognize a lot of these steps where they're getting guidance somewhere along the way from someone to do that.
Yeah,
it's just a matter of doing it now really effectively by adding something new into the process, the insurance contract, well designed for the purpose of allowing you to do that very efficiently over a long period of time. So you can control even more elements of the financial game as it relates to your family's needs, while also protecting the business and the business owner and probably the business owner's family in the same process. So there's a whole culmination of elements that can take place here at a business level. And so for people that already understand that in business, when we're down at the family level, we don't always think about it that way. And so if you've already accustomed to doing this in a business environment, you're just taking that same principle and you're implementing it now at the family level. And if you're doing it at the family level and you want to bring it into your business, well, you can think of it in the reverse. So these core elements are very, very simple, but they do require a little bit of effort. And, you know, things that are worth doing well. So it's okay to get some training and some coaching and mentorship to be able to do that appropriately again and again and again. So you build those constructive habits.
Yeah, I agree completely. And, you know, if you were to think about something even just as simple as how often we go back and read not only R. Nelson Nash's book, Becoming Your Own Banker, but the books that we've co-authored, I bring those books with me and I read them. And I've transferred that same truth that, you know, the more you see, the more you'll see you didn't see. And every single time I reread the books that you and I've co-authored, I see something that I didn't see before. And I've got the highlighter out and I'm dog-earing the pages and I'm thinking, how can we expand on this with our community and share more? And those are the things that we're, you know, going to do this year. But we would encourage all of our viewers and listeners, make sure that if you already have copies of the books that we've authored, great. Go back and read them again. And if you haven't read the books that we've co-authored, you have an opportunity. And I'm sure we'll put a link somewhere where people can go and get their hands on, you know, that reading material. I just had somebody ask me today. I was meeting with a contractor who was referred to me, and he needs help with being a better entrepreneur, but was referred under the guise of, you should just implement the infinite banking concept and it's going to solve all of your problems. Mm-hmm. And when we got through the conversation, he was like, I did not expect any of this in the discussion that we had. Like, this is really making me think differently. And then he sent me an email about 10 minutes after the call. And he said, I went and kind of Googled you. I had no idea that you co-authored books, because, you know, Rich, when we're connecting with people, we're not trying to sell them anything or anything like that. But He goes,
although we do like to sell the books.
100%.
We appreciate it if you buy it.
Yeah, for sure. And
it goes a long way to recovering the investment of the book back, which is
great. Yeah. But he said, hey, which ones would you suggest that I start with? I said, start with Don't Spread the Wealth and A Canadian's Guide to Building Wealth Without Risk. This particular entrepreneur operates his business in Canada. And he was incredibly grateful for that. But he took a lot away from the discussion around how to think about his thinking and how to see what he didn't see. There were blind spots in his business that he just wasn't looking at. He just didn't see them. And so we're going to be doing that with clients and prospective clients who are entrepreneurs and help coach them to make their teams and their businesses better. And when you make your team and your business better, when you make your family better, what happens financially? What is the byproduct financially?
Well, it's just everybody wins. The rising tide raises all boats.
Exactly. And so we're going to be doing some pretty cool stuff this year, and it's going to apply to North Americans. I can't stress that enough. It'll be applicable. It won't recognize any borders because it's all process driven. And that's where we're going to really be impactful to people this year.
And for our listeners who maybe aren't on YouTube or whatever, you can get a copy of Don't Spread the Wealth at don'tspreadwealth.com. That's don'tspreadwealth.com. And you can get a free download of Cash Follows a Leader by going to cashfollows.com. That's cashfollows.com.
Oh, cool.
Now, on that note, we do have several new books that are in the works right now, Jason. We're hopefully going to be releasing one, I would imagine, in the next, by the time this airs, hopefully in the next, you know, maybe give or take a 1 to 2 months after that.
Yeah.
We are working on a book for farmers, grow your own capital.
Yeah.
With co-authored by the amazing Dan Allen. We've got an incredible book with Sarblo Gill coming out, taking the lead on that one. And of course we have an awesome book, which I'm super pumped about. I'm pumped about all of them, but this one I think I'm really uniquely excited about. And that's a book with teens and the infinite banking concept. And it's co-written by your son, Jackson, and your nephew. And I'm really, really excited about that because we're going to get a whole fresh perspective on some young people that have grown up in this. And they've now even delivered presentations on stage in front of 300 financial professionals about how simple this process is.
We just hosted our family banking meeting the last week of December of last year. And in that meeting, both Evan, Jackson, my niece Emily, were having this discussion. It was really a very interesting discussion around policy loans that they've accessed and they've been repaying. And then my nephew Ethan chimed in. He's like, I don't know if everybody remembers this. So he's not even 20 years young yet. And he's already ran 5 cars through the family banking system. Now, these are not $40,000 cars. These are, you know, I think the first one was like 5,000, next one was 8, the next one was 6. Like, I don't recall all the numbers.
But he's mechanically inclined and he fixes them and sells them, right?
He does, yeah. And so he's like, hey, I just want to remind everybody. And I was like, oh my God. And then my brother-in-law said, these are examples that need to be included in Jackson and Evan's book. And I was like, oh my God, that's a brilliant idea. So, oh man, I'll tell you, these kids, because it's all they've known since they were conceptual enough to be able to process the human language. Like they didn't hear things like, we're going to help you get your first credit card. you know, we're going to emphasize on getting you 0.0036% interest in your savings account. Like they weren't hearing any of that language. It was all about the process of becoming your own banker, the infinite banking concept, controlling the banking function as it relates to the family's needs, shopping at home for everything that you need, and not doing business with banks to the greatest extent possible. And so this book, Rich, I'm equally as excited just to see what kind of gets pieced together. And it'll be a short read. Like it's not going to be a novel. It'll be a nice short read to trigger great conversation so that parents can look at it and go, ah, okay, I can do these things, you know, and get policies in place for the kids so that when they're old enough to begin requesting policy loans and the process of repaying them, they already have a foundation of knowledge. And we've written this book for them. Like this book is being written and aimed at primarily parents. Like, the, of course, the guys want teenagers to, you know, think that this concept is cool and that it's something that should be, you know, implemented. But Evan and Jackson are really trying to get the message driven across to parents that this is ridiculously simple. Here are a number of examples to support that claim. Isn't that good?
That's fantastic. Yeah, it's going to be exciting. I can't wait for it. And I think that it's good. It's unique and perspective. Like, you know, we say again and again that it all comes back to Nelson's book, but Nelson's book, everything that we're doing is a way to provide a perspective on Nelson's information,
right?
That gives something, you know, you know, there's a reason why you and I keep investing in our own education, our own financial education. You know, everything that we do is why we go back to the book, is we're looking for what is it that we haven't seen yet.
Right.
So that's rethinking your thinking. That's the ruminate. Okay. So we know these fundamentals. What is it that we haven't thought about with the fundamental? What is it that we don't know that we should know? What is it that we could figure out that's also there that we didn't see before? And that type of questioning creates a tremendous amount of curiosity. And it also, but it's all focused on one core area. And so I really, you know, when you think about people talk about how do you develop mastery in something? I think something like you need 10,000 hours or some ridiculous number to develop mastery.
Right.
So whether you're a chef or an electrician or an entrepreneur, like whatever it is that you're doing, you know, whether you're maybe you're you know, the people in the court that type really fast and put everything in code, like a court reporter, like whatever that is, you have to develop this skill set. And then the more that you do it, the better you get at it. But then you might get almost, I don't know, bored or whatever. So you go back and you look at it from a different vantage point, a different angle. And I'm certainly not bored by it at all, but I'm always looking at, in curiosity to go back, okay, what else is here? What else can we unpack?
Right.
And you never know when it's going to hit you. And often when we're in a community of here's the other thing. This is one of the reasons why I love meeting with clients, is because I get to hear about their thinking. Mm-hmm. And often something comes up in their thinking that I'm like, oh, that's really interesting. I love the way that you thought about that. And then we have a discussion that's a thinking discussion about, well, what prompted that? You know, so what was the problem that led to that kind of thinking? And, you know, there's this fresh perspective, because what's, you know, for the listener, whatever's in your noggin, whatever in your brain, and your way of thinking about it and mine are going to be different. But if we get a chance to connect and discuss that, you never know what's possible, what could be created through that conversation. That is tremendously powerful. That's why this is like literally the gift that just keeps on giving.
Well, and I think that's why it's important too, to make sure that you're connected with the right coach, with somebody who has that degree of proficiency and can help you think about your thinking, not the coach's thinking, your thinking. But you have to be really, I guess, well-versed in what you're doing in order to have that the right impact. Otherwise, the conversations are primarily product focused. They're primarily product performance focused. They're not really focused on habits-based transformation and getting somebody to that bigger future, not to becoming really good at looking at in-force illustrations. Like, what does that have to do with, you know, building a bigger future? And so I love those types of discussions too. And I find that now, I think you and I are quite humbled in where we are in our journey, but I find that now it's just much easier to spot those opportunities where you hear something in their thinking and you can immediately be impactful. You can immediately be resourceful. You can help them sort of make an even higher accelerated progress. Like, it just feels really good to be able to do that. But we had to put in the 10,000 plus hours to get really, really good, you know, at this. And the discussions that we have today are in like just remarkably different than what they would have been back in 2010, 2009, you know, and that.
I wouldn't even know how to describe to like 30-year-old Richard what it is that we know now, and that he would have been ready to, like, I don't think he would have, I think he would have been open, but I don't think he would have been able to understand even what I could share with him today. I just don't, you know, and I've always been very open. I've always been a voracious learner. I've always been very curious, but I was also very easily distracted. Now, to some degree, that still exists, but look, squirrel. But I do think that, you know, there's something that comes with just time under your belt that you can't.
Oh yeah.
You know, and all that learned activity and all the conversations with clients and conversations about their challenges and their strifes, but also all their successes and their wins and how that develops your own thinking. Like, it's really, really tremendous. And then, like, from our perspective of our team, we have a growing team of advisors. Yep. We do regular, you know, coaching and work together, you know, with them on a regular basis and hearing about their conversations with clients. And so it's like, okay, you're in a meeting now with 25 people or advisors, and everyone shares a story about a client interaction from the last month. That's 25 interactions. And now everyone's learning from those interactions vicariously through the person that had it.
Right.
And so what happens in that environment is you can create a mass infused learning environment. It's kind of like, you know, when you marinate chicken, you go and you seal it up in a, you know, vacuum container.
Yeah.
Let all the juices kind of get in there. We're getting all that, like, infinite banking conversational juices marinating in the team so that we can enhance the flavor. If that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense. And that's the strength of a team. I should say, yeah, like, that's the strength of a team that learns together, shares together, wins together. Like, there's just something amazing in that. And, you know, credit to them, right? It all begins with commitment. And, or as Nelson would say in his book, it all begins with a desire to change, a desire to grow, a desire to get better, a desire to create that peaceful, stress-free way of life financially. So this year is going to be really, really, really amazing in the focus that we're going to place on making our viewers and listeners the stars of the show and giving them what they desire. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. But make sure, can't emphasize it enough, Rich, you've got a copy of Don't Spread the Wealth handy. I don't have my copy handy. Both of these books, make sure, if you haven't already, add them to your wealth building library. You'd be glad you did. Any closing remarks, Rich?
No, man, just excited that we're getting our first episode of the year recorded for us. Yes. Done. And, you know, it's going to be a really amazing year. And I think with some of the, going back to geopolitical changes that we talked about, myself personally, I'm extremely excited and positive around what those changes are going to mean. I think personally, from an economic standpoint, both in US and in Canada, on two different fronts. And although there will be some bumps in the road, I really do feel like we're on the precipice of something really quite amazing that's going to take place in North America.
Well, on that note, make 2025 an amazing but transformative year. And stay tuned to what we're up to this year. You'll be glad you did. There'll be a lot of incredible, helpful episodes that we hope will inspire you and help you on your path to your bigger future. So make the rest of your week outstanding. Rich, this is fun as always. And you'll see that another video just popped up if you're on the YouTubes, because that's what YouTube prefers that we do, is recommend that you keep your journey of learning going and that you do it on this platform. And so make the rest of your week great. Thanks for tuning in.